Good evening. I'm Bill Campbell, and welcome to Straight Talk, the radio program produced by and about students. And tonight we have kind of a different show for here on Straight Talk. So often in society and media and whatnot, you hear about the problems with teenagers. You hear of people in high school who have problems with drugs or alcohol or whatnot, and those are some of the problems we face here on Straight Talk. However, tonight we're going to do something a little bit different. Joining me live in the studio tonight, I have a senior at West Valley who has kind of gone the opposite extreme. He was selected as the outstanding All-American High School musician at the McDonald's All-American Jazz Band, the McDonald's All-American Band Festival here, which was held recently. So he's been selected as the top band musician in the United States, and that's Ben Pelletier from West Valley. Thank you, Ben, for coming on. You're a jazz musician. What was that song that was the theme music? Did you recognize it?
I did not recognize it, Bill.
You weren't even listening. It was from Spyro Gyra.
Oh, was it?
Yep. I thought you might recognize that as a jazz musician. Well, I may have slaughtered the contest that you actually were at, but what was it exactly you went to?
It was the McDonald's All-American High School Band, and they cut the jazz band program this year, which you probably said jazz band, because John Button from West Valley made it last year into the jazz band.
Uh-huh.
But what we did is we went to Washington, D.C., and we filmed a PBS special, and that's going to be airing March 8th on PBS here in KUAC.
Uh-huh.
And then we went up to New York and marched in the Macy's Day Thanksgiving Parade. And the most coverage was given on NBC, which wasn't aired here in Fairbanks. Or it was aired at 5 a.m., but I don't think many people caught it. But it was aired over the rest of the country, and we got good coverage there. And then on the CBS, we got minimal coverage, a few seconds.
Right. Well, now, what is this? Is this the top band musicians from all over the country?
What it is from each high school band, the band director nominates two students, and they get to send in tapes. And then you're chosen on your tape audition and on your resume, your musical resume, on what bands you're in and things like that. And once you're chosen, you go, and then they rank you according by chairs. And then from that point, you go through the concert and everything. And then the night before the last day, the night before Thanksgiving, they have an awards banquet where they announce the outstanding student and give scholarships and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I found out that I had received the award, and it's chosen by the music faculty at the McDonald's All-American Band.
Obviously, McDonald's, the king of the fast food hamburger, sponsored the program. Did they sponsor it in whole?
In whole, how do you mean? The entire program?
Right.
Right. Well, they spent quite a bit of money, but actually it works out in their advantage, because to spend as much coverage as we got, to spend as much money to get as much coverage as we got on the news and national media and things like that, would have cost them more. But that's the reason they cut the jazz band, is because it wasn't cost effective. They'd play for an auditorium of 400 people and spend, you know, several hundred thousand dollars getting the band there and doing that.
Now, it's because you were selected as outstanding member, you got this brand new baritone.
I got the free instrument of my choice, and from Yamaha Corporation. And a lot of things are involved with that. I get a free instrument, and I picked the best one they gave me, which retails for $3,500. Made my parents real happy, and me real happy, but my parents in particular, because they didn't have to shell out. And, what else? Oh, yes, the Yamaha Young Performing Artists Program. I'm now a member of that, which is just a newly started program. There's seven other students in the nation in that. And what it is like if Disney calls up and says, we need a young-looking player to come down for a while, they'll contact me, and they'll give them my name and fly me down and things like that. And it kind of gives me like a little agent it does give me an agent where I can call and say, I'm interested in this kind of university, could you call that university and recommend me to them, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And
have you got any jobs from them?
Not yet. No, I haven't, but I got the letter that I was accepted into the program just a week ago.
Right. Can't expect things overnight. You mentioned colleges. What are you looking at for school?
My first choice is the Eastman School of Music in Rochester, New York, and my second choice is the New England Conservatory in Boston, Massachusetts. And while I was on this trip recently for the Macy's Day Parade for McDonald's Band, I did get to audition at New England Conservatory, and I was accepted there. And I have to send in a tape later for scholarship. And in a recorded tape of me playing different pieces, and if they like it, they'll give me money. If they don't like it, they won't give me any money. And but that's my second choice. And I auditioned in February for Eastman, and that's for scholarship and admission both at once.
Mm-hmm. How many students were in this McDonald's?
There were 104, and it was two from each state got selected, and one from the Virgin Islands and one from Puerto Rico and two from Washington, D.C., the city.
Right. What was the audition like to get into it?
The audition to get into the band?
Mm-hmm.
The audition was they sent one prepared etude, which was there's a short piece, but it's very it was very modern and kind of rhythmic and difficult. And that was the same tempos for all instruments, so the flute players, who usually play fast, had to play the same thing as the tuba players.
Jeez.
So it was really quite difficult for the tuba players. And for euphonium is very close to
a tuba.
But you sent in that, and then you got to send in a few selections of your own, and then some scales and arpeggios, things like that.
Mm-hmm. What... And then you just went down for one rehearsal with them before like 2 or 3 days worth?
We went down. They really rehearsed us hard because we hadn't played together. And there, especially in that kind of a group, I don't want to single out instruments, but, well, trumpet section is in particular has a lot of egos involved. Everyone there is used to playing lead chair, you know, first chair and everything. And so that took almost a whole day of solid rehearsing just to get the egos kind of calmed down and people used to sitting behind other people. It was kind of an unusual thing.
How'd y'all get along?
Actually, after the first day, it was really solidified. People just said, well, this is where I am and, you know, be happy with this, right? But the first day was a little tense. Everyone was kind of looking at their neighbor and trying to play higher or louder or faster or whatever.
Did they give you individual auditions or were you just kind of put in a band and they kind of walked around and listened to you?
They did give us individual auditions. Then we had sectionals. And then after that, they put everybody in the whole band where they, you know, where they thought they should go. And, from that point on, we just rehearsed solid. We rehearsed 8 hours the first day and then 10 hours the next day. And the day after that, we had a marching rehearsal at the University of Maryland, and that was 7.5 hours of solid marching.
Had you ever marched?
I had never marched before in my entire life, and I was the only person in the band who had never done any walking while playing before. The other guy from Alaska had walked like one block or something while playing with his band once. But it was a very new experience for me, and I didn't even know what a drum and bugle corps was until I was there, and people were shocked because drum and bugle corps is the life of some of these musicians that were there. And so it was kind of all new to me, and it was all kind of...
Did they give you any practice marching, or did you just kind of throw on the...
Well, they just... no individual help at all. They just kind of let me sink or swim kind of a situation. But I guess I swam by the end, but I wasn't doing so well after the first 7.5 hours.
Of marching. And I know you've walked and played a little bit. You and I played in Law together, which is a jazz band here in town. I've seen you with a green wig on playing at the Westmark Hotel Room, playing Louie Louie and Johnny B. Good on
you. I've seen you wear some sombreros yourself, Bill.
did that help you any, playing in jazz bands around town here?
Actually, it did, because I guess I did lie a little bit. I have, we walk around the ballroom while we play that one or two songs, and, that really did help me quite a bit. It was a good experience to know jazz and be able to talk with all the jazz people there, because they're the jazz musicians of the future. These are guys being compared to Wynton Marsalis when they were, you know, when he was their age and things like that. But it was a lot of fun, and I guess playing trombone and walking around helps your lips a little bit as far as getting used to walking. But it was definitely a hard thing for me to do.
Were you at a disadvantage? Because here in Lasco, I mean, I've never marched mm-hmm. in high school or anything, and in fact, when I was looking at some colleges, when I was first out of high school looking at colleges, band directors would ask me, do you march?
Uh-huh.
Not with a group, I don't. I kind of think. Did that put you at a disadvantage? Did they really hold it against you?
Not initially. Well, one time we were marching along, and one gentleman who was one of the instructors came up to me and said, you're out of step. And I looked down, and sure enough, I was out of step. And then so I got in step, and he goes, have you ever marched before? And I said, no, I've never marched before. And he goes, oh, well, that explains it. Just pay attention. And then he walked away. And that was the most trouble I got for not having marched. But just the fear, constant fear of being out of step or out of time or not doing something right was really kept me on my toes.
Mm-hmm. For anyone at home who has any questions or comments, the phone lines are open tonight, and that number is 474-5044. And it's 474-5044. Most people listen to this program, this station, would be more like, are probably parents with students. Mm-hmm. When did you start playing?
Well, actually, I started playing very late. Most people start playing in fourth grade. I started playing trumpet in sixth grade, and I got braces in eighth grade, and that really did me in as far as trumpet playing. It doesn't do some people in. It really affected me greatly, so I switched to euphonium.
Which is like basically a baby tuba, right?
Which is a baby tuba. I don't like to use that definition because when people think tuba, they think oompa oompa. And I think the euphonium is a very lyrical instrument, and the connotation that tuba lends to it doesn't really give the full meaning.
I played tuba for a little while, so be careful.
Sorry, Bill. But what was I saying?
Is that you started in eighth and...
Right, okay. So I started playing euphonium actually freshman year of high school. And I really stuck with that. And I went to the summer fine arts camp. And I'd really like to give that camp a hand. It taught me quite a bit as far as learning how to play.
Mm-hmm. What did your parents push you to start, or did you just want to?
The interesting thing is, no. My parents were very musical, a very musical family. My father plays piano as a church organist here in town. And my mother sings. My sister plays oboe. And my grandfather's a concert pianist, and so the musical element was always there in my life. We were always playing music at home, or I was, you know, we'd sing Christmas carols together or on the piano or with my dad, you know, real family scene. But I just kind of started on my own. I just went to the band director and said, what would you like me to play? And he said, well, there's trumpet's a good option. So I just started on that, and that's how I really got started. And my parents have always been very supportive, however, and anything I'd like to do, they're always saying, great, go for it, Ben.
Which really helps.
Yeah.
Do you ever see students whose parents push them too much?
I do see that in music especially. You get parents who want their kid to be the next, you know, Midori or some other prodigy. But I don't know if that really helps a whole lot. I mean, it helps in their technical ability sometimes, but a lot of times people get burnt out, or they get unenthused about playing, and they really don't want to play. You know, they don't want to play at all, which is a horrible situation, because making music is one of the most enjoyable things you can do in life. So why make it a horrible experience by pushing your kid to do something like that? I mean, I'm not saying totally relax and ask them not to practice or anything, but I think a reasonable amount of practice should be maybe looked for in a kid. But you don't need to push them to practice, you know, 3 hours a night at the beginning, kind of a thing, which some parents do. It's really kind of a sad thing.
I know. I played band all, and I still am playing trombone and things. In fact, we play in the university band, and maybe even a jazz band if we get one put together here. And you see that, and the kids just get completely burned out.
Right. It's really not too enjoyable for anyone involved, because then the parents, they don't get what they want either. They don't get their successful musician child. What they get is a burnt out person who's unenthused about music, and that's not a musician. So,
how often do you practice?
Now, I'm very busy, but I try to get in 2 hours a night. That does not happen, though. As a general rule, I can get in probably 1 hour is what I try to do. Even then, some nights I can't do any because I'm so busy, and then I just have to, I buzz a little bit or something. I get my lips warmed up when I go home. And that's about all I can do, because that's 11:30 at night, maybe before I get home, because I'm in a lot of other things that I do.
I know last night it was 10:45 before you got home, because that's when I was calling you. And as far as in school goes, is there encouragement to play in elementary school, in junior high and things?
In elementary school, there wasn't so much as just you went to the band director and did what you wanted. It gets more and more encouraging to do things, and I encourage anyone who's out there listening to stick with their instrument, even if they're frustrated with it now. Find a way where they can, you know, keep with it until it gets enjoyable, because it does get, and it becomes incredible. It just becomes like one of the greatest things that, in your life, playing in music. And like once you get to high school, there's competitions and there's all state and there's, you know, a bunch of festival things where you get together and you really get a close group of friends together, you know, through music, and you get into bands and in law bands. It was sometimes when we would just be grooving there late at night, it'd just be one of the greatest things. So
1-2 o'clock in the morning, playing those 4-hour jobs,
making money on the side,
and making some money. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Some first get back together this spring. Are you looking at band professionally, speaking of money?
Speaking of money, there's not a lot of money in music unless you're the next Luciano Pavarotti or something like that. But there are a lot of options. There's the Washington, D.C. military bands, which are, you're an honorary officer. You're not really in the military. And it's an honorary position where you basically spend your time going around the country giving clinics, lessons, and performing guest artists kind of things, and playing with a band occasionally. And that's really that's the top gig right there, and that's what really I'd like to be. The competition is big for those jobs, though, but there's a few of them out there, and that's where I'd like to end up eventually, and then teaching in a college situation when I get a little older.
Mm-hmm. What about competition? I mean, something that they do in high school that you and I both went to Allstate and tried out for us is Allstate, where they take the top musicians around the state and get them together in a band, and I could relate with what you were meaning about the egos and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Right.
With that, do you think this is a competition, in your opinion, hurt? Does it kind of, I don't want to say frustrate someone who doesn't make it?
Oh, I can see that, yeah. And there are a lot of hard-nosed people in music. You know, real, you know, they've made it to the top or they wish they had, you know, and so they, you meet a lot of those, especially the elder musicians, because either the career didn't go as they wanted or it did, and they're very proud of the fact that it did. And there's nothing wrong with being proud of your accomplishments, but it's just, sometimes it gets a little overbearing to some people, you know, looking in on the music world, or someone who's a little bit intimidated easily can get very put out by the feelings that they might get initially from a musical kind of a group sometimes, especially if you're not the top player or even near the top, because if you're not near the top, then you're kind of thinking that you don't even really belong in the group too much. But that's not true. I mean, you wouldn't be there if you didn't belong, so.
Right. Yeah, which is true. I know with Allstate, and speaking of the egos,
mm-hmm.
and going to it, that was a real, it's like that with sports though. So like that with whatever you do.
Right, uh-huh.
You know, it's like with life, I suppose. But I remember that at Allstate, and those egos doing that. What about, is there any more in your family? Any, don't you have a little sister?
Yeah, I do have a little sister. She does play, she plays oboe in the Youth Symphony, and she's getting very good. She practices quite a bit, actually, and oboe is a tough instrument.
Mm.
It's really difficult, but they get all the good parts. Sometimes you just listen to a symphony and say, I want to play oboe after you listen to that symphony or something. But she does play, and she's very musical as well.
Is there any pressure on her because her brother has now made it to the All-American Band?
Gosh, I don't really know if there's all that much pressure, because I'm not sure if she wants to make music her life. I think it's more of a hobby with her. And so if just doing music as a hobby and keeping it fun for you, that's just as good, I think, as a career. As long as the music stays fun, you get to keep on playing. So I'm not sure if the pressure's there. Also, we play very different instruments.
Mm-hmm.
I'm from the brass family. She's in the woodwinds. So there's a large separation. But
when you've pretty much decided music is going to be your claim to fame and your job in life.
Yes, I have.
When did you decide?
It was really within the last year. I changed my values quite a bit. I was more into being a lawyer kind of a thing, or you know, money oriented success, real important is. But I kind of had a shift, and I don't really know where it started or anything. But you kind of come to a point where you realize, no, doing what is the most fun is the most important. At least that's what I think anyway. And I've come to the point where I think music is what I have the most fun doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where I've have to spend my life. I mean, how could I do otherwise? I'd be selling myself short, kind of, I think.
Is money, because being a musician, odds are very great. You'll make enough money to pay rent and eat, but perhaps not much more than that for quite
more.
A while.
And that's true, and I recognize that. And there are some delusions out there. A lot of people in McDonald's band wanted to become rich and famous musicians, and of course, everyone can't become a rich, famous musician, but everyone, I'm confident everyone at the McDonald's band could become a musician, I mean, a professional musician, but everyone's not going to be rich and famous, and I know that. So I think I just have to say that I'm not going to be a rich man as a general outlook. I mean, I'm not going to put limits on it. I'm not going to say, well, no, I refuse your money. I'm going to demand to stay a poor musician, but I think it's more important to be happy with what you're doing.
All right. What do you think about these jazz musicians, like, for instance, Kenny G,
mm-hmm.
or one of those guys, who's kind of turned, maybe sold themselves out for pop?
Gosh, that's a rough topic, because I think you might know I don't like Kenny G very much. And really, I think he's responsible at like a lot of the camps, Fairmix or Summer Fine Arts Camp, for instance. You get a lot of young saxophone players who listen to Kenny G and people like that a lot, and they have all these articulations that are not, you know, are not classic. They're not how they're supposed to be if you're playing real jazz. And a lot of that comes from listening to them, and they have this concept built in their mind that that's how sax is supposed to be played, especially saxophone, because Kenny G and so they come in with all these concepts in their mind, and it's really hard to change that. And so it's kind of difficult. A lot of what I think those musicians are doing is really hurting the jazz performance area. But you know, if people like it, I guess you can't do anything about it. I don't see much.
Who do you listen to?
Jazz?
Yeah.
Jazz, I listen to Lee Morgan. He's a trumpet player. Clifford Brown. Duke Ellington, big band stuff. And Stan Kenton stuff, the real brass, great brass. Bill Watchers is my favorite trombone player. You might know him.
Right.
Carl Fontana is another one. And just a bunch of my real heroes.
Almost sounds like more of the classical, old style big band jazz more than...
I like John Coltrane quite a bit, and a lot of the... I do have quite a few David Sanborn tapes, I must admit. And a lot of the musical people of the community are probably groaning right now, but yes, I do like David Sanborn. I don't know, I mix it quite a bit as far as what I listen to. What I don't listen to is top 40 at all, and so I feel like a musical illiterate whenever I talk to my peers at school, because... I'll know about Tchaikovsky's symphonies, and I'll know about Dave Brubeck's quartet or something, and I'll know nothing about Milli Vanilli or one of those other things I can't even pronounce.
How do they react? I mean, come on. You're 18, what are you, 17 years?
Mm-hmm, 17.
You're not even listening to top 40. How do they react?
Well, at first they're really surprised. Like, once they asked me to play, what was that guy's name? George Michael.
Right.
They asked me to do that in an air band, and I didn't know who he was, and it was just the other month, and they were just shocked, completely shocked. But you know, eventually after they get accustomed to me not knowing anything, they just say, "Oh, Ben, have you heard that song? Oh no, it's just Ben. Oh, forget it," or something. So they also expect me to analyze the music too much. They'll say, how can you like this music if it's just boom chick, boom chick, boom chick? And which is, I don't know. It's a lot of, actually, I don't mean to put down the pop music scene, because a lot of what's going on is pretty good. But a lot of times I just see nothing but, you know, poems set to rhythm, which is fine. Poetry is great. But I wouldn't really call it music. It's more of, you know, poetry set to a rhythm, kind of a beat, because there's really not much musical things happening there, as far as I'm concerned.
What would you call music?
What would I call music? That's a real good question. It's another avenue by which we can express ourselves as people, and to show our culture and to things and things of that nature. And actually, my definition of music differs very much from all the singers of this community, because I really, really see it as being having to do without words, without spoken communication. And when I listen to music, actually, I listen as if the person was singing, were a trumpet, or the voice were a trumpet, or the voice were any other kind of instrument. Like, and that's why I like opera so much, because they have great instruments, the people there, and I don't understand any of the words, but you can get the feeling through the music of the thing. And that's really why I don't relate to top 40, I guess, too much. Because I don't listen for words. And if you don't listen for words in that music, the meaning of it's kind of lost.
Maybe I shouldn't admit this over there, they'll know who my name is, but I judged an air band contest. Mm-hmm. Or not an air band, but a Battle of the Bands contest.
Oh, did you? In North Pole, I heard about that.
Right, yeah. Right. At North Pole, just last Saturday night, I guess it was. And there was probably 300 or 400 students there, and there were some bands, and there were some excellent musicians. However, I mean, technically, there was this one guitar player who technically was fabulous.
Right.
I mean, fabulous. However, it was almost, you know, you never see a jazz guitar player, especially not in high school.
Right, never.
You see these rock guitar players or rock musicians. Mm-hmm. You see rock vocalists. There was one guy who was singing who was great. and he was real outstanding. He really shone through compared to the others. Mm-hmm. But yet, I guarantee money, he wasn't in choir. What about students today? Are they playing, in your opinion, again? Are they turning more towards rock, or are they turning more towards?
Well, you see a lot of the students who do practice, the hard rock kind of stuff, and there are a lot of bands that do that. But at the in West Valley, for instance, and at Lathrop also, I know there's a lot of students that really do like the jazz. As far as they're the ones who are in the jazz band, I'm not sure there are many students. In fact, I'm almost positive there aren't many students that like jazz that don't play music of some sort. I mean, they might be in the orchestra or something, and they listen to jazz or some other kind of music. But really, a lot of the kids that don't play instruments really don't listen to a lot of other different types of music, except classical, you find. Mm-hmm. A lot of students that don't play instruments in general will at least know some classical music, and they like some of it.
But they do listen to it around their friends.
It's kind of interesting. There's the music kind of clique at our school, which is kind of an interesting little clique, because it's the only people that I really think call each other on the phone and say, you have to listen to this, and then they'll play it on our stereo. I mean, I do this with my friends all the time. We'll play something on our stereo and hold the phone right next to the speaker. And I'm not really sure if a lot of the kids who watch MTV, actually they might. They might just call their friends and say, hey, you have to see this video. But I don't know. That's kind of interesting. I never thought about it that way.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, has music helped you out? I know you do well in school academically.
Mm-hmm. I'd have to say that it's given me quite a bit, I don't know, this sounds kind of cheesy to say, discipline. You know, as far as sitting down and really being able to put your mind to something and not leaving until you've at least done something well, or at least done something right. I don't know if you don't always play well, but at least do something that's doing right. And that's really helped me with homework and stuff. You know, you sit down and say, well, I have to do this, and it's, you know, like you can make the analogy, I have a concert next week, or I have a term paper due, and I have to be able to play it in front of people by then, or I have to be able to turn this paper into my teacher by then. And so you just sit down and you know, get your mind to it and focus. A lot of that is mental focus as well. You're able to sit there and concentrate on something and not, you know, flip on the TV or the radio and sit down with some munchies and relax, because you can't practice music doing that, and that carries over into your studies.
Do you ever, I called last night trying to get hold of you to make sure you're coming on tonight, and mm-hmm. I guess about 9 o'clock call, and your dad said, well, you know, I really don't know where Ben's at, but I think he'll be home. You know, I really don't know when he's going to be home, tell you the truth, Bill. He might be home soon. I called back at 10. You know, Ben's still not home, and I really don't know where he is yet. But when he comes home, I'm going to call you.
Mm-hmm.
I call back again about 10:45, and he says, you know, I still don't know where. Wait, there's a car pulling in the driveway right now. I think it might be Ben. Do they ever get tired of your schedule?
They do when, right now, our other car's broken down. And that becomes a real problem, because I either have to get rides with friends or with my dad. And so he's often shuttling me around, and that gets tiresome. But other than that, I don't have much of a problem with, I don't think they have much of a problem with my schedule. I think I do a little bit, because I'm a little bit too busy. I look at it, I've taken on too much this year, especially as far as activities and whatnot. And it's just, it's really wearing kind of thin on me as far as sleep and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have to get up early for stage band, and I'm usually staying up late for something or another. And so burning the candle on both ends doesn't really work too well.
That's right. Life's too short to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for coming on tonight. I never even got to ask you. I wanted to ask you about a girlfriend.
Oh.
Do you?
Yes, I do, in fact. And her name is Brandy Norton. She's a ballet dancer. She was just in the Nutcracker production, which you might have seen, you might not. And she was the Dewdrop Fairy, and she did really quite well. And then I get to see as much of her as I can. But again, with the schedule, it's really kind of hard to get time to see each other.
To get time. Mm-hmm. Well, it's already 7 o'clock. Quick half hour has gone by. Thanks for coming on tonight, and good luck with music.
No, you're welcome.
Going out to look at some colleges here in a few weeks?
In February I'm going, actually. But I'm looking forward to it, and I really appreciate you having me on the show.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. That's been all for Straight Talk tonight. Until next Wednesday night, I'm Bill Campbell. Good night.